Hello, listeners. You are listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com. This is your host, Zach Gandra. With me, as always, the inimitable Steve Gandra. How you doing there, Steve?
I'm happy to be here.
It's horrible when we started recording shows in front of your computer because now you're tinkering with nine things while we're supposed to be recording.
Well, my computer is actually pulling up all the really cool stuff on our guest.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, because we have a great guest today.
Yep, we do have a great guest today.
Great guest today. You know, knows all about the cloud, knows all about all of the high-tech stuff that all the rest of the world is just now trying to figure out. So we're going to be happy to have him today.
It'll be good. Yeah, we started recording the last few shows from your home office, and I'm not going to lie, it's like driving down the street with you. It was a lot easier when we were in the radio studio. You had less distractions.
Yeah, but the radio studio is not as cool with the tech. You just didn't have to do as much as you do now.
This is true. This is absolutely true. So we just got finished with one of our biggest so far, Achieving Excellent Cultures workshops, which is kind of gateway drug to the Excellent Cultures process.
Probably not a gateway drug.
It's not a cult.
It's a gateway Kool-Aid. It's more of a combining everything we've learned in over 30 years of building high performance cultures for great businesses, sandwiched into 2 days. And the feedback is always, wow, that's a ton of information. But, you know, we had all fours and fives on the value.
Good.
We had 50-ish. Different leaders, from middle managers to CEOs, from about 15 different companies. So lots of fun, lots of great feedback, lots of good things happening.
I think people forget. A lot of times they look at some of our materials, and I think it's my job to kind of reword some of that stuff, but people think we're only dealing with CEOs, and certainly we're not. Like, that's maybe our first conversation or our last conversation.
Leaders
as a whole.
Leaders. So, which is why we've got Jared Ray on the radio show today. He is a leader. So, Jared, want you to tell our listeners all about your role at Centrally Cloud, what you do, how you do it, all the cool stuff that you guys are doing, because when I first heard it, I was just extremely impressed.
Great. Well, it's good to be on with you guys. You know, culture is actually near and dear to my heart. This is my second startup that I've done, and now I'm at CenturyLink, and let me kind of give you the background of CenturyLink. A lot of people know CenturyLink from just the broadband or even the network, and CenturyLink over the last decade has really grown from a rural telecommunications provider in Monroe, Louisiana, up to a kind of global telecom provider. We're the third largest in the country.
Wow.
With hundreds of thousands of miles of fiber internationally and also domestically in the United States. And one of the things that's been really interesting with CenturyLink is our pursuit to really bring business solutions together. We have these amazing assets like network, which a lot of people know about, but we also have colocation, about 58 data centers. And now we've also brought in our infrastructure and automating that. And through an acquisition, which was my company, Tier 3, we started, basically, it was a cloud company, and now CenturyLink Cloud was born. And our goal at CenturyLink is something that you probably don't always hear from telecommunications providers, or they can't execute on that long term. And really what that is we're here to enable you and take all of our services that we have and make them cloud-like. And what we mean by that is we want to take every service and make it fully scalable, instantly on demand and self-service, and fully programmable for businesses to interact with. And that's really my goal in the company at CenturyLink. We started out about 18 months ago on this journey, and it's a huge transformation led by the senior leadership here to really transfer the company, not only how we do things, the products and businesses, you know, business products that we have today, but also to transform our culture and how we do things. And there's been widespread changes through that.
Well, so how long ago did you found Tier 3, Jared?
I am right now on I'm about 9 years. So I did it in 2006. So what's that? Yeah, about 9-year journey.
And was your original vision, you know, a cloud-based business services company?
Yeah. So we were a cloud provider in the Gartner Magic Quadrant, competing against the giants of the world. You know, one of the things I really loved focusing on at Tier 3 and now even at CenturyLink is we really focused on the Fortune 2000 through the enterprise, as they have different needs and they also need a lot more help. You know, as we all talk about us transforming, especially in the enterprise and even CenturyLink, most Fortune 2000s are transforming also internally. And they're realizing that disruption is going to happen in every single one of the industries that we see today, and their business is going to be affected.
So when you got into the world of, you know, building a, you know, a cloud-based service organization, did you ever think in your wildest dreams that CenturyLink, who was probably one of the littler guys then, who would become a global outfit and then turn around and end up swooping you up into the suite by and by?
No, absolutely not. I remember actually getting called from a friend of mine, which I didn't know he was at CenturyLink. I remember him. He was at Joint before, this really great guy named Jonathan King. And he said, "Hey, you want to meet up and have some drinks?" And of course, I'm a startup, so I was like, "Free drinks? Yeah."
Yeah.
I remember sitting down, and there was another guy with him, and I was like, "Hey, Jonathan, who's this other guy?" And the guy introduced himself as Brian, and we started talking, and we ordered drinks, and I remember Brian. I said, "Oh, Brian, what do you do?" And he goes, "Oh, I buy companies for CenturyLink." And I was like, whoa, what's going on here? But it was well played by both of them. What really surprised me is the dedication of, you know, an 85-year-old or 85-plus-year-old company willing to look at changing. And not only their culture is so embedded in itself, you know, you have these older companies and the culture is so powerful, but they're also in this process of changing at the same time. And it was really amazing to actually talk to them. But yeah, I was blown away with what they had and what they wanted to do, and how much it aligned with where we were going.
So as the show is about culture and we're talking about culture, how many of your original people that were there at the moment of the acquisition merger are still with you from when you first heard about it, Jared?
We were an engineering core specific, and I'm proud to say that as of today, we've only had one that has left.
Wow. So you've kept all your people except one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, that's amazing.
And it's also been, you know, we've been able to really take this different approach of, you know, not only being part of CenturyLink's culture, but also helping them transform into our culture.
Sure.
And they were really impressed with the way we did things.
Sure.
And so, as a matter of fact, it's almost done the reverse since then. We actually, the St. Louis organization and another organization in Denver are now all rolling up to CenturyLink Cloud and kind of adopting our way of doing things, which is part of our culture and our model.
Yeah, that's great. So, you know, we're going to talk in a second about your view of what a high-performance culture is, but so many people think, you know, culture is probably one of the most misused, misunderstood words in business today. Everybody talks about it. Nobody looks up the definition. When if you would just Google the words organizational culture, what you would find is that it's the shared beliefs, you know, the values, the mindsets, the habits that govern how people act at work. And I talk to so many folks lately where to them culture is about ping pong tables and foosball tables in the break room and keggers on Friday night and wearing jeans every day. And while those things certainly do affect, or free tickets to the Mariner box, while those things certainly do impact, you know, whether people, you know, have fun when, you know, when they're working or around work, they have nothing to do, at least based on all of our research and data, have nothing to do with how effectively people actually do their jobs, perform at work, and make a difference. So I'm getting the break sign here in a second. But if you could be thinking about it, Jared, what I'd like for you to talk to our audience about when we get back is your view of what a high-performance culture, you know, a culture of ethics, values, and employee engagement, you know, really, really is, because you've actually made it through the gauntlet of from free drinks and startup, you know, to one of the big guys. Mm-hmm. And from what we see you're doing, your gang is marching way ahead, and rarely will you find anybody that's done what you've done and only lost one of your key players in the meantime.
So there you go. We're going to get right back with Jared in just a minute. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and eclectcultures.com.
Remember when your company was awesome? It was you against the world. Successful strategy, to-do list, done, supersonic growth. But over time, the sharp edge gets dull, and good is good enough. Why? Because companies forget that bigger is not always better, that politics crush people, innovation, and creativity. And before you can say, rotten corporate culture, social media posts are infecting your business. The answer? It's not just your corporate strategies, it's your corporate culture. Excellent companies know that bad culture eats great strategies for breakfast. These guys really get it. Whether you're a family biz or a Fortune 500 or a new biz and want to get it right, excellent cultures can bring you back to awesome because they get it. What they know for sure? You don't need another consultant. Excellent cultures gives you what you need to get what you want. Bottom line business results that last. How do they do it? With successful business leaders as coaches and proven scientific data. They read your company's culture from inside out. Think MRI. They give you fast, accurate bottom line tactics. They don't treat symptoms, they go for the cure. Based on science, they reveal the hearts and minds of your people using proven and concise data, not warm and fuzzy psychobabble. And here's the kicker. You get supervisors who coach and inspire, workers who love their work, and everyone, that's everyone, not just the boss, takes ownership and accountability. It just doesn't get much better than this. And if you're wondering if Excellent Cultures works, just ask a few of their grads. Don't let the culture monster eat your strategy for breakfast. Check it out for some free advice from one of their experts now, or start it yourself with their complimentary online business culture MRI.
So we're back at Biz Culture Matters and ExcellentCultures.com with Jared Ray from the CenturyLink Cloud organization. And before the break, he was telling us how his baby entrepreneurial startup made it through the gauntlet from getting rolling to staying rolling to being acquired by CenturyLink and is now one of the leading trendsetters in the world in the field of cloud services and everything to do with the cloud that supports primarily large businesses. So, Jared, tell us, I mean, what's your view of a culture of ethics, values, and employee engagement? What's your vision?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail right on the head when you started talking about a lot of people think culture is, free soda, foosball tables, and a whole bunch of scooters.
You got to have keggers on Friday night too.
Yeah, and of course, keggers on Friday night. While those are nice benefits. The things that we really focus on and we really drive, and I would probably key on three big words that we always talk about in our values for every individual, is really transparency, honesty and impact. And one of the things that we really look at around those is we want people to feel empowered and enabled, which in most corporate cultures, I don't believe that that has actually, they all say that, and many corporate cultures believe that they're doing it, but we take it even one step farther. Most of our teams, so first off, we've flattened our organization. Between me and the engineering teams that run, build, and operate our platform, there's very few layers, and we are instantly engaged at all times. Anybody can actually talk to anybody. You don't have to go through a hierarchy. There is no such thing in the world that we live in, and we believe that people need to be honest and transparent with each other and set those ground rules. And then we also want that last thing, which is impact. Cultures are defined by the group thinking knowledge. And so we are very into impact. We want our engineering teams to form as teams, to work together in a group, and to not only build something, but also run it, because we believe in that instant impact with the customer and the ownership of that service. So when they build a product, they actually own it and they know it, and we actually do full business reviews. And so engineers at CenturyLink Cloud get more than just, oh, I'm an architect, or oh, I'm just a QA tester. They're all of that, and we also teach them how to run a business.
So are those three values, transparency, honesty, and impact, are they the stated values of the organization?
Yeah, for mine, we have five core values at CenturyLink, but mm-hmm. we like to key in three for this organization. The last one, which we talk about a lot, is execution. We believe in constantly delivering results and then taking feedback and evaluating that. And, you know, we don't want people to think that they feel like they could be wrong and blamed for it. We want them to understand that failure happens, success happens. We want to evaluate the data and move on from that. And so in our organization, we really push towards that. And it really has changed the way we think about things. Very rarely are we the ones running the roadmap or the way we actually execute on a product or engage with our customers. Most of the time, it is actually the teams and the members of those teams driving where we're going, which is really what you want in a culture. A culture is an ever-evolving set of events by a mass amount of people, not just from a leadership team.
Sure, sure, sure. How many people on your team at CenturyLink Cloud about now, Jared?
Yeah, we have about 350 on our
okay.
team now.
About,
so it's not small.
Yeah, not at all. You know, 350 folks. And then I'm assuming that your core group of leaders, since you made the transition, you've only, you know, had to replace one or lost one in the process. Were all of those leaders who are still with you, did they come on board with this mindset of transparency, honesty, impact, and execution? Or is that something that you guys kind of developed together through the process?
You know, I think we had it before. A lot of us knew each other before, and we've worked at other companies that had similar type things. But we really started developing the way and our process at Tier 3, and then we kind of accelerated it when we came to CenturyLink. Because when you look at CenturyLink, you know, when you're a startup, you build something with the team that you have and the resources you have, and things go very fast. At CenturyLink, we want it to still go fast, but you also have to scale to that. When I actually came over, there was six teams doing this model where we had team-based process. We had guide rails for all of them to live by. We had these values that we've instilled in our team, and that was six teams. We now have over 30. Teams running.
Wow.
And so it's quite a change to actually do that. And it's also, you almost have to look at how not only are at a startup, people believe instantly in the future. They have hope. When people come to startups, they're already convinced that they're willing to change. Mm-hmm. The startups are thinking differently. When you start bringing other teams in from, a bigger company, you have to also look at how to evolve your thinking. And we've done that a little bit, but also get people to start thinking together as one and even adapt some of those values or take on some of those values that need to happen. And that's been like the biggest thing. And scaling to 30 teams has been a huge, great experience. And it's actually been more successful than we thought it was going to be initially.
So are most of the folks in these 30 teams, are they architects and developers or actually out writing code and, you know, developing software?
Yeah, we have the other thing that we did. We really believe in this whole idea of impact and that execution, which brings on ownership. And ownership is critical to us. So when we started moving more people from CenturyLink into our way of doing things, we also eliminated a lot of the titles and roles because we don't want blame to be passed. And we also want people on these teams to feel like they can do more than just what their title is, especially in technology. So we got rid of, there were 7 to 8 roles, and we're now down to 4. We have a product owner on every team. We have a product analyst, which kind of is a right-hand person of the product owner. We have an engineering manager, which is the person in charge of the entire product. He kind of runs things in and out. He's the person in charge. And then we also have engineers. We actually don't have architects anymore or QA people. We have QA people that are now called engineers, and they specialize in certain things, and they work on a team in a collaborative sense, but they do more than just QA now. And people who were architects before, they now do even more engineering. And our goal with a lot of these engineers is we want them to write the code, test the code, architect the code, and be together as a group and have that discussion, which is really critical for us. And that gives them that sense of ownership.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. So do you remember off the top of your head about how many people strong you were when the CenturyLink deal first went down?
Yeah, there was about 42 engineers,
okay,
which were the main core that came with us. There was a couple sales and marketing and operations, but when you do acquisitions, you know, sometimes those people stay, sometimes they don't, but they move to other orgs. But the 42 core were mostly engineering and a couple leaders. We've also been able to bring other amazing leaders from CenturyLink into the fold. Just over half my direct reports are not originally from the Tier 3 acquisition.
Yeah, wow.
And they're leading big teams also.
Yeah, wow. So what we find time and time again as we've studied, lots of organizations over our almost 4-decade history and gathered data and measured cultures, you know, with the benchmarks of very similar to what you've defined, you know, are we actually getting transparency, honesty, execution, and ownership and real day-to-day behavior? Or is it just conversation or things that people feel are nice or, you know, and are politically correct about? You know, with an organization like yours that's grown from under 100 to about 350, usually what happens, and I want you to speak to this, I'm getting the break sign again here, but I want you to speak to this when we get back from the break, is, you know, as organizations grow and typically the common denominators of a great culture starting to degenerate and weaken is fast growth and adding people. And the more people you add and the faster you grow, the more people have a tendency to get their heads down and focus and just do the work. And, you know, and then as human nature goes, we stop doing the things that made us successful in the first place. So when we get back from the break, if you can, you know, speak to that and tell us, you know, where you've seen your your great culture vision of transparency, honesty, impact, execution, and ownership, or you've seen it to start to deteriorate in some organizations, that would be very helpful to our listeners.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back right after this break. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com.
Remember when your company was awesome? It was you against the world. Successful strategy, to-do list, done, supersonic growth. But over time, the sharp edge gets dull and good is good enough. Why? Because companies forget that bigger is not always better. That politics crush people, innovation and creativity. And before you can say rotten corporate culture, social media posts are infecting your business. The answer? It's not just your corporate strategies, it's your corporate culture. Excellent companies know that bad culture eats great strategies for breakfast. These guys really get it. Whether you're a family biz or a Fortune 500 or a new biz and want to get it right, excellent cultures can bring you back to awesome because they get it. What they know for sure, you don't need another consultant. Excellent cultures gives you what you need to get what you want. Bottom line business results that last. How do they do it? With successful business leaders as coaches and proven scientific data. They read your company's culture from inside out. Think MRI. They give you fast, accurate bottom line tactics. They don't treat symptoms, they go for the cure. Based on science, they reveal the hearts and minds of your people using proven and concise data, not warm and fuzzy psychobabble. And here's the kicker. You get supervisors who coach and inspire, workers who love their work, and everyone, that's everyone, not just the boss, takes ownership and accountability. It just doesn't get much better than this. And if you're wondering if Excellent Cultures works, just ask a few of their grads. Don't let the culture monster eat your strategy for breakfast. Check it out for some free advice from one of their experts now, or start it yourself with their complimentary online business culture MRI.
We're back with Biz Culture Matters and excellentcultures.com, talking to Jared Ray of the CenturyLink Cloud organization. And before the break,
sorry, Clay 1180 too, we gotta do the radio shout out for the broadcasters.
and we love Clay 1180, who
we're on right now,
broadcasts us right now.
I can't believe you forgot our radio station.
You know, it's because you usually do this part.
You're doing it,
you
so
know,
well,
and you're pointing at me. You know, this, you must be feeling like it's getting close to vacation time.
No, I'm like over here counting editing and doing
love,
all sorts of
we
things.
We love Clay 1180, you know, who has broadcast our shows for years now.
Yeah.
But Jared was telling us before the break about how they've grown from, you know, under 100 people to a little over 350. And typically, you know, that's when, you know, cultures that start out great with these great values that he's shared with us of transparency and honesty and impact and execution and ownership, you know, that's where all those things start to degenerate. Jared, where have you seen, you know, you've been around the block a while, you've been in business for quite a bit, you've been a startup, now you're a big corporate guy. Where have you seen, you know, the great values like that start to deteriorate?
Oh, yeah. I think you see it quite often. You know, when you have a vision, you have to be willing to fight for that vision, or it's probably not worth it. To really, you know, you need to pick a new vision if you're not willing to fight for it. And when it comes to this type of, you know, culture and what we've been building, we're very willing to fight for it. And we also see problems. You know, one of the big things that you have in a hyperscale environment as you grow, especially when you flatten the org, is that communication can silo very quickly. Even when you say, oh, I'm flattening the org, so communication would actually spread. But when you have 30 plus teams, or say, you know, next year, if we have 60 teams or 90 teams or 100 plus teams all working together, you have to figure out how to get each other talking to each other.
Yeah.
Each team needs to understand how to talk to each other and engage, and also to break down barriers. Egos get in the way. It does happen. A lot of, you know, sometimes you get people who are saying the right things and part of the values, but aren't actually doing what they say, which is really, you know, something you have to draw out, you know, to get out of people and figure out how to correct that. But I think communication is a big thing, especially with the structure. We actually do all hands every single month. A lot of people say, oh, we do all hands every quarter, or, you know, inside my organization, we do it every month. We also do this thing called monthly ops review, which is a full business review of every single team every single month. And we try to make sure that there's a cadence, but we also know that we have to encourage teams to talk between each other. And I also often think about when I used to go up to my mom or my sister would, and she would try and tattletale on me and say, oh, you know, Jared did something or something else. And, you know, there's this moment where my mom said, no, you guys need to work this out between you two. Sometimes that actually is very important, because in big corporations, it's usually ran up the hierarchy.
Yeah.
And that is not going to scale.
Yeah. Yeah.
And especially if you're trying to breed this whole idea of these values.
Yeah.
You need to be able to have them understand that and walk them through it. So you're going to put a lot more work into getting individual people and even teams to work across instead of up and down the hierarchy.
So I get the part about how silos begin to develop, you know, when you get more and more people, and, you know, in the two big lows, you know, silos and egos are what really start to hold you back. And I think, you know, your two, you know, strategies, I got the monthly ops reviews. Could you go back to the first one where you talk about, you know, what you do intentionally on purpose to work on keeping the communication going outside of the silos across, you know, the whole organization, where folks feel like, you know, a one team as opposed to, a, you know, 30 different little ones?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that we do. One is we do an all hands where people give demos across all the products. We actually bring up a couple of people during the all hands, and we give that monthly. We also, every quarter, we have this thing called One Product Voice. And what that is the culmination of every single team goes over their roadmap and actually provides a demo of what they've done recently. And then we even look at mingling together, basically having interaction, making sure that teams can work with each other or find something new. And even to the point where we now have teams, members of each team move between teams,
so
to kind of spread that.
So how long are the all hands meetings typically?
Well, we try and knock it out in about an hour.
Okay.
It usually takes about an hour and a half.
Okay. And this is like all 350 folks in one place at one time?
Well, we do it over, matters on the location. We have about four major locations
okay.
that all the engineering teams are in.
Okay.
And we usually hold it in one location, but everybody can dial in.
So you're on the web.
And everybody gets to laugh at my very bad jokes. And, you know, we really focus on being very transparent with what's going on with the business, where things are, where we really need to work on things, and being very clear. A lot of all hands, they don't talk about the numbers, customers that we're having problems with, groups, teams that are struggling or teams that are doing well. We are very transparent about all of that across the entire organization, because we want them to understand that they are owning this business
yeah.
with us.
Yeah. I love your value of ownership. Not too long ago, we had a brilliant academic on the show, Dr. Bruce Savoglio from the Foster School at the University of Washington Business School, who is actually the number one resource in the world in the field of transformational leadership. And when we asked Bruce the question about what the, you know, major flaw or the common denominator of failed organizational change initiatives was, he said that it was ownership, you know, lack of ownership. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you guys have figured that out and are doing everything you can to keep the ownership high as you grow, and even, you know, even looking for ways and operationalizing these all hands meetings into where, you know, you're doing them virtually and folks have an opportunity to participate and communicate. Have you given any thought to how you're going to be able to do that when you have 3,500 people instead of 350?
You know, we're working on it. We've been building a lot of tool sets to help communication also across the entire organization. So we have things like a team directory that we've built so you can find out what other teams are doing and you can see their updates. We've also looked at, and we also use Slack, which is an online chat communication tool. Every single team is on Slack. So if you ever have a question, you don't have to feel awkward in who should I call or why should I call. You can just post in their channel and they will respond.
You just throw it out there. Yeah, just throw it out there. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
It's been really surprised. I mean, Slack alone, this online communication, we have over 117 channels that people basically contribute to. We actually have people outside of my organization on Slack also. So it's this constant live feed update of what's going on across the entire organization on every single team, and you get your questions answered extremely fast.
Yeah, that's amazing. So the Gallup organization runs these engagement surveys every couple of years, and the last, you know, two rounds, we've had kind of the same feedback. You know, 70 or 72% of North American employees, according to Gallup's Q12 measurement assessment system, you know, are in fact disengaged. In the last poll, there was even a anomaly, you know, a new anomaly where 18% said they actually hated their jobs. And the most common reason for people hating their jobs was, you know, bad bosses. They hated their boss, and that people don't really leave an organization, you know, they leave a boss. What are your thoughts, or what connection do you see, Jared, between you know, this engagement index and you know, a culture of the ethics and values, especially based upon, you know, the values that you shared with us: transparency, honesty, impact, execution that leads to ownership. What connection do you see between that and engagement?
You know, I think there's two parts of that. You know, it wasn't too surprising around, you know, that I think you said 18% said they didn't really like their boss. You know, I think we've kind of stumbled on a really big problem with promoting people and not giving correct career paths. Many people in corporate America, they've been promoted, and I kind of think of it as this. Say you're just amazing at your job and you want to, you keep on doing well until they promote you and make you a manager because that's the next step. Well, that's kind of backwards, because if you think about it, if this person's like an engineer, he's probably an amazing engineer.
Yep.
But you're not really training him. If he wants to be a manager, that's great. And you want to train them and make them successful in that and build off of that. And they can be amazing engineers, or managers, but realistically, most of the time, they take an engineer in the technical, they make him a manager, so they actually are in a negative deficit at that time, and then they take multiple people and put them under that manager, and in most cases, they don't train him to be a manager, or cultivate people, or build off of that culture, or give ownership. So now that guy or person is a manager who has all his expertise in being an engineer and most likely will remove the ownership from his team and actually invoke them by micromanaging them. And they will say he's not a very good boss.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
he doesn't have the skills to do the right thing. And she, you know, say your boss, you know, she's doing really well. and she's doing great, and she probably has the training and the expertise. I would probably say that is the minority at this point in corporate America, that the right training is there and the understanding. There needs to be career paths where you can excel at your job and keep on excelling, and you don't have to always go into management and become someone's boss. Because being a manager or a leader, no matter who you are, you have to be able to embrace how to give someone the ability to be better than you are.
Yeah, that's so amazing. As I mentioned earlier in the show, we just, I'm getting the break sign. So I'll go fast with this because we want to talk to you about some of your coaching tips for leaders in the next segment. But we just finished this leadership workshop, and we do these every couple of months. We do a lot of them internally for organizations of all sizes, you know, startups to Fortune, you know, five operating divisions. But the feedback that we get on the evaluations constantly from leaders, and the workshops are about leadership development from a, you know, how do you develop an excellent culture perspective? And what we hear from leaders time and time and time again, because the workshops are largely table discussion driven, you know, a little bit of content, a whole lot of conversation, you know, between leaders, is that folks just want more conversation. They're starving for face-to-face interaction and communication when you get to the subject of leadership development. And in this day and time, you're so right. I mean, someone could be a great engineer, but not a great leader. And if there's not something in the place to help develop them, it's really to get lost.
Yeah,
absolutely. We got to go into a break, guys. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com. We'll be right back with Jared Ray.
Remember when your company was awesome? It was you against the world. Successful strategy, to-do list, done, supersonic growth. But over time, the sharp edge gets dull, and good is good enough. Why? Because companies forget that bigger is not always better, that politics crush people, innovation, and creativity. And before you can say rotten corporate culture, social media posts are infecting your business. The answer? It's not just your corporate strategies, it's your corporate culture. Excellent companies know that bad culture eats great strategies for breakfast. These guys really get it. Whether you're a family biz or a Fortune 500 or a new biz and want to get it right, excellent cultures can bring you back to awesome because they get it. What they know for sure, you don't need another consultant. Excellent cultures gives you what you need to get what you want. Bottom line business results that last. How do they do it? With successful business leaders as coaches and proven scientific data. They read your company's culture from inside out. Think MRI. They give you fast, accurate, bottom line tactics. They don't treat symptoms, they go for the cure. Based on science, they reveal the hearts and minds of your people using proven and concise data, not warm and fuzzy psychobabble. And here's the kicker. You get supervisors who coach and inspire, workers who love their work, and everyone, that's everyone, not just the boss, takes ownership and accountability. It just doesn't get much better than this. And if you're wondering if Excellent Cultures works, just ask a few of their grads. Don't let the culture monster eat your strategy for breakfast. Check it out for some free advice from one of their experts now, or start it yourself with their complimentary online business culture MRI.
We're back, and you are listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com. Our guest, Jared Ray, SVP of Platform for CenturyLink. And Steve, during the break, I had to shut you guys up so that we could get to the... Yeah. You were getting to nitty-gritty stuff that we need to record.
Yeah, really nitty-gritty stuff. So, you know, before the break, we were talking about how in our workshops that are focused on leadership development from a culture perspective, as you start developing leaders, this seems to be something that every... You know, I'm talking about from middle managers to CEOs. That they're starved for, and especially when it involves face-to-face interactive communication, that's not over email or not a text or not, you know, a web conference. People seem to, in every evaluation, we seem to get that comment. You know, we want more, you know, we want more conversation. We want more communication about leadership. And, you know, they just seem to be able to, you know, thrive on conversation and be starving for how can I become a better leader, just because most of our development processes are so void of that. What's your experience with that, Jared?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, I'm a very self-taught person, and a lot of my organization is built that way. We're very empowering for that. But, you know, like we were talking about offline, when I look around the corporations today and leadership, leadership is kind of like a thing they hope you grow into. And it's almost like telling somebody who's a bicyclist to now play basketball. If you move them from an amazing role that they're really good at to management and leadership, you know, some of them can excel in it and learn, and they already had some of that muscle and they're ready to work on it. But some of them, you know, they can't jump, they can't shoot, they can't do anything. They rode the bicycle extremely well, and we have to work on making sure that they can really work that muscle and get that muscle memory built in of how to be a leader and how to enable others with that.
Yeah, muscle memory is a great way to describe it. And in fact, what we find time and time again is where cultures start to break down. You know, we talked about it earlier, where you start out with a great culture with these great values of honesty and transparency, you know, and ownership, and folks really get it and they're excited about it, but you grow and folks have their head down and they're working and you get more teams and then silos start to happen and et cetera, et cetera. But what really seems to be where the gaps happen is in the quality of relationships that exist between leaders and followers, and then between team members. Pretty soon communication, as you said, starts to break down, then trust starts to break down. And before you know it, you've got the three ugly signs of a terrible culture, which is, it becomes an all about me. What's in it for me? What are you doing for me? Culture followed by foggy vision and foggy goals. And then the kiss of death is when people start withholding or delaying sharing their opinions. And, you know, when nobody knows where it came from. I mean, and where it comes from is just, you know, what happens when people get busy and you're growing like crazy, and and your leaders are not getting developed. They're just getting promoted.
Yep. Yeah. And I think when you start playing the game of scaling your leadership team and growing it, you have to be really, really careful with how you build that. But I also think it's the team's responsibility. A lot of people say, oh, you're it's really your leader has to reach out, or the person, you know, the engineering manager in our case, or the product owners need to reach out across teams. But we actually really push back even to the engineers and say, why didn't you reach out and talk to them? Why are you waiting for someone else to do that? Because when you think about it, most of the time breakdowns happen because of miscommunication, and hurt feelings happen most of the time because of miscommunication. So our goal is to always make sure that we have clear expectations, and we also drive it with one underlying piece, which is getting to the data.
Yeah.
One of our leaders here, Gavin McMurdo, always talks about this. And he has a great accent, way better than I do. But he always says, our goal is to drive to get to the data and make a decision off of that. And the data will tell us which way we need to go. So we solve conflicts in most cases with the data. And that really gets to a factual knowledge as we're running a business. This isn't about egos. This isn't about emotions. This is about running the business.
Yeah, so true. And in fact, interesting in the process that, you know, we've developed in nearly four decades now of finding out, you know, what works some of the time, what works a few times, what never works, and what always works in building a high performance culture. One of the key components is metrics and data that actually measure, you know, the belief systems of what are people thinking, what are they believing, you know, what would they say differently to a anonymous third party as opposed to, you know, at, you know, around the conference table in a meeting, and how is that driving the performance? And when people begin to see their own beliefs and their own work habits depicted with data and norming it against what, you know, what world class is, it's amazing how fast they start to realize, gosh, we used to do this and we stopped. We used to do that and we stopped, and we can't do this anymore because we're too big. But how can we figure out a new way to communicate face to face, you know, and then not lose time that we gain when we're doing a web conference or an email or a text?
Yeah. And I think one of the things that you have to realize is when you're building a culture and you expand, you know, you talked to once before, Steve, about the whole idea of going from 350 to 3,500 to 35,000, you know, what usually happens, and actually Netflix has this great, you know, Netflix's HR posts a lot about their philosophy about life. And one of the things that you talk about is rules come in as the spread of leadership and ownership happen.
Exactly.
And they come in because basically they don't trust the employees that are being hired as you scale and grow. And we even see this now as we're growing ours, that, you know, one person can ruin it for everybody else, that we'll stop doing something because one person. And what we've realized is when that one thing happens, whatever it is, we want to really evaluate, and we do this thing called a retrospective. And we have a format for how we do this, but a retrospective is basically a no holds barred. You can put whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. Everybody can actually participate in it, and you can give a retrospective on what's going on. And then as an organization, we vote on what we think we should do and what the action items need to happen. And in a lot of cases, what we've learned is even one person fouling something up, we do retrospectives on those and say, well, is this really one person, or can we evolve this in a different way? Is it really a problem and they just brought it to light because they're owning it and they're understanding what's going on, or, and we need to change, or is this something that we can help them grow in?
Yeah, that's great. So as we're winding down, Jared, I'm getting the we're out of time sign. Can you give us just a quick insight? Put your coach's hat on for a second. You know, one idea that you could pass along as kind of the, what do you do to really keep your leaders, you know, dynamic and keep your culture moving forward? What's your favorite idea?
Do something with passion. A lot of people never think about that, but passion is the root of all of it. If you don't believe in what you're doing, it's very hard to do your job.
Well said. Beautiful. Well said.
Jared, stay on the line. We'll be right with you. Hey, guys, if you loved the show and right now are thinking, wow, I need to look into this employee engagement, I need to look at some culture-based stuff for my company, this was really helpful. Jared and Steve really helped me. Go to excellentcultures.com right now. Scroll down. It says Culture MRI. Click that button. Take the free assessment. And we would love to have a conversation with you regarding your data. Until next time, you're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com.